Remember when you were a little kid and you were sitting in your dad's lap in the car and you put your hands on the steering wheel and you would look over and say, "Look, Mommy, I'm driving." Now, in reality, you weren't driving. Dad still had his one hand down here on the steering wheel. He was doing the gas and the brakes, and he was there. But you thought in your little hands and your little mind that you were in control. Little did you know, you did not have a clue, but Daddy was in control, and you were safe because your father was in control of that automobile. Well, that's what Isaiah 14 is talking about. Something we call theologically the sovereignty of God. What that means in just modern day terms, God has all authority. He has all power. He has all control over all of creation. What that means, God is king. He is in charge of everything. He calls the shots. He rules over everything and everyone. Nothing happens in this world, and I should get my hanky out of this, unless God causes it or God allows it. Nothing happens in this world unless it is caused by God or allowed by God. So therefore, nothing happens in our life by coincidence or by chance. So God rules over Iran, and God rules over Iraq, and God rules over Russia and over North Korea, and God rules over Israel, and God rules over the United States of America. Not Joseph Biden, not Donald Trump, or whoever the next person is. God is in control. Republicans are not in control. The Democrats are not in control. God rules over everyone and everything. When we come to Isaiah chapter 14, the wicked Assyrians are in charge. They are literally ruling the world. In Isaiah chapter 10, God gives this prophecy that he was going to overthrow and judge them harshly in Isaiah chapter 10. The Assyrians plan to destroy Jerusalem. God has thwarted it. But God's plan would be carried out, and we're going to see that here in a minute. God would crush the Assyrian in the land and on his mountains. This morning, I want you to see four truths about God's involvement and God's control over our world. And a sermon I'm entitling, Facts of Life. First truth I want you to see. Notice God's plan. Isaiah 14, look at verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, "Surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purpose, so shall it stand." Let's just walk through this verse. Surely, it means definitely. What God desires will absolutely come to pass every single time. Now, he's talking about the future. God has a plan for today. And God has a plan for tomorrow. And God has a plan for next week. And it is going to happen. Look at this. As I have thought, or as I have purposed, or as I have planned, it's a reference back to chapter 10 and the prophecy that he gave there. So shall it come to pass. It's going to happen. Don't worry about the timetable. Don't worry about how it looks on the horizon. What I have said in my word, it's going to take place. I hear people say, well, they've been talking about Jesus coming back since I was a child. Is he really going to come back? Yes. And it's going to be very, very soon. Look at this. So shall it come to pass. So shall it stand. God decides the plans for the future to accomplish his purposes. Isaiah 43, verse 13. You don't have to turn. They're going to put it on the screen. Look what it says. I will work. And the King James says it like this. And who will let it? Or who's going to stop it? There is no one that can stop the plans of God. So you think about the most powerful person in the world. You're talking about the strongest person in the world. You think about the richest person in the world. They're nothing in the face of God Almighty. They're not even a piece of straw in the face of God Almighty. You say, okay, Pastor, I have a question. Does God plan rates? If God is control, does God plan murders? How about incest? Does God plan that? Listen very carefully. Absolutely not. Sin is a lack of moral perfection in fallen creatures. So because God did not want us to be robots, he chose to give us free will. And because he allowed us to have free will, we have the choice where we can accept him or where we can reject him. Where we can choose righteousness or we can choose wickedness. Despite our free will and despite our free choice to choose good or evil, God is still going to accomplish his plan and his purpose. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. In him, in God, there is no darkness at all. So are we robots or do we control our lives? When God decrees certain things, they will happen no matter what you want or no matter what you say. So you say, well, I'm going to do this. Not if God wants you to do it. Well, I'm not going to do that. But you will if God wants you to do it. Now listen to this. God's sovereignty, his control. Remember, I gave you the definition at the beginning. God is in absolute control and authority over all of creation. God's sovereignty is not about controlling every detail of life. It is about orchestrating all things according to his perfect plan. And he does it every second of every day. Psalm 115, verse 3. We're going to put it on the screen. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. When we realize God is in control, then we understand life is not a series of accidents. It's a series of divine appointments. So therefore, this did not just happen to me. No, no, no. God allowed this for a purpose and for a reason. And you'll see it at the end. Because God is sovereign, the best thing you can do in every situation and every scenario. God, I submit to you. God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Because he's sovereign, he's in control. Now let me show you two situations of just this. Psalm 105, verse 17. You remember Joseph? His brothers abhorred him. They hate him. They sold him into slavery. Was it their sin that sold him into slavery? Or was it God's plan that sold him into slavery? Psalm 105, verse 17. He, God, sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. So was it the brothers? Yes. Or was it God? Yes, it was. God worked through their wickedness to accomplish his plan. Genesis 45, verse 7. This is Joseph's testimony. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So he's talking to his brothers. Hey, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good through this great wickedness. God was working. God was orchestrating. Do you get the freedom and the liberty that that brings into your life? Therefore, you stop spitting on the stuff in your life and you realize God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. God, what do you want me to do in this unlovely situation? And you grow from it and you learn from it. God's plan. Let me give you one other one. Acts 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered, listen to this, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. So whose plan was it? These wicked soldiers or God's? Yes. God used their wickedness to accomplish his plan. Let me give you another one. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. God is in control of everything and everyone. Best way I know how to explain it is like this. And for me, this is a happy thought. How many have ever been on one of those cruises? I'm not talking about the Gilligan Islands cruise, but one of those cruises. You know, you go to the Bahamas or one of those cruises. You know, when you're on one of those boats, you've got a lot of things you can do. You got that endless ice cream machine that you can go and get ice cream 24 hours a day. You got the track. If you wanted to go run on the track, you got the swimming pool. You got the little theater thing. There's a lot that you can do on that boat. But that boat's going to Nassau. And there's nothing you can do to stop that boat from going to Nassau, because it's going to Nassau. And you either get on the boat or you're going to get left behind, so they say. And so it's going to its destination. But on that boat, you can do a lot of things. You've got some choices. That's God, and that's his sovereignty. Number one, God's plan. Number two, notice God's property. Look at verse 25. That I will break the Assyrian in, that's the next word, my land, and upon my mountains, tread them underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. So remember, the Assyrians had invaded Judah in God's purpose. He was judging them, but he would break the Assyrians. He would tread them underfoot. Verse 25, God would eventually bring Judah out from this repressive state. But here's what I want you to see. Look at the verse again. I will break the Assyrian in my land and upon my mountains. God is the owner of the earth's lands and mountains. So what is his property? Everything that you can see, everything that you can touch, everything that you can smell, everything that you can taste, it all belongs to God. You say, why? Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2. He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. He created it. And because God is creator of all, he owns it all, including you. So why is God sovereign in control over everything? Because he created it. And as creator God, he has the basis and the right to be absolutely sovereign. If there is no creator God, then he has no authority over the earth. If there is no creator God, then he has no sovereign power. We can go live however we want to. But because he did create everything, and he did create you, and he did create me, he has a right to say, Neil Jackson, this is how you need to live. And Neil Jackson, this is how you do not need to live. Because he is the sovereign power over everything in this world. God's property. Let me show you Genesis chapter 4, verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Now you look at our world. We are exalting ourselves up as God. We think we're pretty powerful. We think we're pretty clever. We think we're pretty successful. You look at this verse. We're nothing. We're reputed as nothing. And God is everything. Every success we have, every accomplishment we've ever done is because of the grace of Almighty God. Now, let me just take this one other step, and I don't think I'm meddling. Because God is absolutely 100% sovereign, in control, and has authority over everything and everyone, he has power to delegate his authority. Romans 13, verse 1, all power is of God, and there is none that be but are ordained of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, all kids, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And children who do not obey parents in the Lord, it's wrong. Parents, if you don't require obedience, you're sinning. Because God is absolutely sovereign, and he has committed his authority to you to train your children in the way that they should go. And when you do not teach them obedience, you are sinning against God and against your children. Number two, God's property. Thirdly, notice God's, and I struggle with this word, periphery or his perimeter. What's his boundary? What's God's border? Where does his sovereignty end? We know where the U.S. jurisdiction ends. Where does God's sovereignty end? Look at verse 26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. This is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. So God is in control over all the earth. So if you live anywhere in this galaxy, you are under the control and the authority and the sovereignty of God. You say, well, I'm just going to move to North Korea. Good luck with that. You're still under God's sovereignty. Well, I'm going to go to Russia. You're still under God's sovereignty. How about Iraq or Assyria or Iran? God has a plan for everything that's going on in our world. He is in absolute control and authority over everyone and over everything. You say, what about elections? I didn't like how this last election went. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So understand and listen to what I'm saying. In America, you have a responsibility to vote. And shame on you if you don't vote. You need to vote, and you need to vote biblical matters, biblical principles. But God is going to put into an office who He wants. And it could be He's judging us, or He is showing us grace by who He puts into authority. You say, what about that court system? I don't like what they're doing. Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is He that sits upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Listen to verse 23. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. So I'm not wringing my hands about a decision the Supreme Court made, because they're not that supreme. There is one that's higher than the president, that's higher than Congress, that's higher than any parliament, that's higher than any supreme anything, and it's God Almighty. He is supreme, He is sovereign, and He is in control, and He can change out any man and any personality as He will. Amen? That's our God. God's perimeter. Ever been to a symphony? I want to see some hands on this. Like the symphony orchestra, raise it. Come on. Some of you guys, you need to get some dignity, and you need to get some culture, and you need to go take your wife to the symphony. You might fall asleep, but still, you will be sophisticated for going. Imagine a master conductor as he stands before this vast orchestra. The musicians are there, and they're pumped and primed to blow their trumpets and their tubas and their trombones and their play their violins and their clarinets. They're ready to go with a single gesture. That conductor, He brings harmony out of chaos, directing each note to fulfill the symphony that He composed. That's what God's doing with life. His purpose is what He has arranged in our lives. He is orchestrating, and we are going through life, and we are to follow His directions. God, what do you want me to do? God, how would you have me to handle this? God, what do you want me to respond, and how can I glorify you in this scenario? Number three, God's perimeter or periphery. Maybe the fourth one, I'll be done. God's power, and then I want to relate it back to you. Look at verse 27. For the Lord of hosts has purposed. Who shall disannul it? And His hand is stretched out. Who shall turn it back? And let me make a couple of statements. God can use the wickedness of man to bring about His plan. God does not work with wickedness, but God works in spite of wickedness. And He works through wickedness. God never cooperates with sin because He is 100% absolutely holy. But God causes sin to cooperate with Him so that He might be glorified even in an awful, wicked circumstance. Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas, in all deep places. Do you get what that verse means? God is in control. He is the authority over everything and over everybody. So, all right, Pastor, how do I respond? Here's the invitation. Two ways that we should respond to the sovereignty, the control, the authority, the power of God Almighty. Submission. In every situation, God, I submit to you. I submit to your word. I submit to your will. I submit to your plan. I'm not going to spit on it. I'm not going to curse it. I'm not going to gripe about it. I'm going to say, you are in control. I recognize that my boss is not in control. He's not the final say. My government is not in control. My neighbor is not in control. So I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to submit to your plan. John Calvin put it like this. Until men are brought to know that they are so subject to God's power that their condition can in a single moment be changed according to his will, there will never be as humble as they ought to be. And our tendency as American Christians, when something does not happen, instead of submitting to God, we want to act as God. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to change it. I'm going to go and I'm going to right the wrong. That's God's job. God says, I've allowed this to come into your life. Trust me in it and trust me to work through it to bring about good. Most of you, I would say, have been to the beach. Most of you, I would say, have built one of those sand castles on the beach. Imagine you built this big, I mean, they got some serious, you look at those TV shows, they got some serious sand castles that they build on the beach. I mean, they are massive. I mean, I don't know how long it takes them to build those things. They are massive. Let's say that you say, I'm going to build the coolest sandcastle in the history of the world. Okay. And you got it, and it's a humdinger of a sandcastle. And we say, you know, about 4 o'clock, a few minutes from now, tide's going to come in, it's going to wash all away. You say, no, I'm going to build this big old moat around it. Protect my sandcastle. The waves won't be able to get to my sandcastle because I got this big old barrier wall and it's going to be safe and it's just going to keep the waves out. See you about 4:15. Because that water and that force is going to come in and it's going to wash it all away. And that's how you and I live our lives. Friends, listen, God is in control. Like it or not. You want to play your little games or you want to submit to Him? God is in control. You can have scars by trying to resist God, or you can say, I'm bowing down and I am submitting and acknowledging you in this scenario. God, I'm going to follow you completely with all of my heart. How do we respond to the sovereignty of God? You submit. How do you respond to the sovereignty of God? Number two, confidence. When we realize that God is in control of everything, and then we understand there are no accidents, there are only divine appointments. Things that may take us by surprise never take God by surprise. We can go through life cool as a cucumber because God's got this. You know, I didn't know this was coming today. Woo! But God did. And He's looking out for me. Look at Ephesians 1:11. They're going to put it on the screen. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He works all things, everything after the counsel of his own will. So when I get up tomorrow and something hits me smack dab in between the eyes, God, I can rejoice in my tribulations because you got this. You know, I would be a mess if I had to take care of all my problems, but God, you're sovereign. You're in control, so I'm just zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Why? Because my God is watching out over me. And everything that comes into my life is according to His sovereign plan. So I'm not griping. I'm not spitting. I'm not complaining. I'm rejoicing. Because in everything, He's going to have preeminence. Because I'm submitting. And then I'm living in confidence. Amen? Her name? Adelaide Pollard. She had one goal. She wanted to be a missionary. That's what she wanted to do. Single girl, just let me go be a missionary. She tried, and it seemed there were just roadblocks. Finally, she made it to Africa. Missionary, what she always wanted to be. World War I broke out. They sent her home. She was quite honestly depressed. God, you know all I want to do is serve you. You know all I want to do is serve you as a missionary. She was in a Wednesday night prayer meeting when God gave her a poem that eventually was turned into a song. Say, preacher, what do I do in relation to the sovereignty of God? Submit. Live in confidence. The poem that was turned into a song. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me. Make me after your will. While I am waiting, yield it and still. Sovereignty of God. God has all authority, all power, all control over all of creation. Our response, submission. Our response, confidence in our loving God. Amen.